Okay, we're not in the woods. Welcome to episode 89 of the Repossible Podcast. I'm your host, Bradley Charbonneau. It must be Thursday. Today I have with me Leah Dines. And we are going to accomplish two things today. She doesn't quite know this yet. But we are going to accomplish three things. Two for me, one for her. Two for me, real quick, is we are going to talk about the DARE book forward. So we're going to get content. I chose her to write the foreword for DARE. She's going to do that. And we are going to talk through it. So item number two for me is talking to you, dear Repossible audience, about how the process can go in getting a piece of content out there. So I'm choosing to do this sort of interview-wise. We're going to just talk through something. We're having a discussion, and we are going to see what comes up. And this is not rehearsed. We don't have any questions. We're just going to talk about a certain topic. That's it. That's all we're going to do. We're not going to be writing. We're not going to finish it. It's just a discussion point. So that helps me because then I'm helping you because I want more people in my books in 2020 of the various Repossible series, which has grown into an 11-book series, by the way. And I just uploaded 3 more books this morning to fill out 2020. It's a currently 11-book series, and you can check that out on Amazon. Okay, and for Leah, this is Leah Dines, I chose her. This is going to help her because she doesn't know exactly what she is supposed to write for the DARE book, because I sort of sprung it on her saying, hey, Leah, I think you would be great, and here's my little mini intro of her, I think you would be great for the foreword of the DARE book, partly because we also know some people in common who don't dare. And the subtitle of the DARE book is sort of do something different and go beyond those who didn't dare do. I know, I really get into the D's. And we know people who we wish would dare more. And it can be so frustrating that they're not daring. And in fact, it's come to the point that you almost don't care anymore if they dare do it or not. So I brought Leah on because she is someone who dares do things. But not only that, but because we have these people in common who don't dare to do the things, how can we help the people who will actually dare to do the thing? So I have Leah Dines, and that was my mini intro of her, and she can give any kind of intro she likes. But I want to keep it onto the topic of DARE for the book, and with the idea of, you know, sort of who is our audience? You know, who is it? I'm almost to the point where I don't care about those people who don't dare do anymore. And it can sound a little harsh, but again, we're not going to name names. And if those people are listening, you know, if those people are listening, sorry.
That's a good step. That's a good first step if they're actually listening.
If they're listening to the Repossible podcast, because they're daring to take a step. And
that's a first step. Yeah. Is listening.
Yeah, and listening. And yeah. And then will they take action or not? But you're right, that is a first step.
Of listening to something like this. Because they wouldn't do this, because then it's more painful. Another person saying here's what you can do. But then if you're not an action-oriented person, then they wouldn't want to listen to this because it would tell them to take action.
Yeah. And they would tell them yet again, reminder of what I'm not doing.
Right.
And all the terrible things that go along with that. Look, see, you know what? I have to give a disclaimer here. Maybe there's a disclaimer for the people who don't dare do, and I should give a disclaimer. Did you notice that it starts with D? Disclaimer that, you know what? You're all good. If you don't want to dare to do the thing, maybe that's fine. And maybe we, the daring doers, should stop bugging you to dare to do the thing. And that's just your thing. And I don't know, are you on your own? I mean, we were talking about my oldest son today and where he is in a situation, and we, you know, we think he should do A and he thinks he should do B, and well, sorry, but he's 16 and he's my son, so we should have more say in the matter. But I mean, what about these people who, it's so funny because we know these people, we're not going to name them, and we're going to try to, you know, like in the fiction books where they say all these people are, you know, it might seem like characters, but they are kind of based on real life. So
all these stories come from somewhere, real thing that you saw or felt or dealt with. That's where stories usually come from anyway. So I think every movie, someone's out there going, oh, that's about me.
Yeah,
I knew him in seventh grade, and that's why he did that. That's why he wrote that. I was mean to him, or whatever it was.
You know, so Leah, I had an email the other day, actually about the D.A.R.E. book. I had an email from a woman, and she said she suffers from depression. And she actually said it was okay if I talk about her story. She says, I suffer from depression, and thank you so much for writing your book, because you have made me dare to do the thing I didn't dare do. And thank you for that. And that's actually my target audience. I mean, this is someone who dared to write a stranger, an author,
out loud. What'd she write? I yell this.
That's right. That's right.
Saying it out loud. Writing it is out loud.
Yeah. And I shared the email with Leah, and she sent a video of everything and what she was doing, and it was fascinating. What was so cool was she dared do the thing. I mean, she dared do that first step of emailing me, and because when she's doing that, she's acknowledging she has depression. She even said, she says, oh, I'm open about my depression. I thought, wow, that's like another step. I mean, I remember I didn't, if I had a problem or something, you know, hide it, keep it away, turn it off,
like a light switch. Okay, go see Book of Mormon. All right, sorry.
Put the singing element in the podcast. That's next week. Or maybe after another glass of wine. It is December here. We're sitting outside in Phoenix, Arizona. We're wearing light jackets, though, because it's a little cool. And having a glass of wine and a beer. Just, you know, to set the scene, we are daring to drink. That's probably not a good topic.
There you go.
Daring to drink, by the way. A little disclaimer there for all you attorneys out there. We are not saying you should drink. Okay, but here's a tough question. What are we saying? What are we saying you should dare do? And what is it? What do you think, Leah? Like, what, if with those people I know we have in mind,
I think.
Listening.
If it's a big enough problem that other people see it, or that you're talking about it over and over, then you're kind of asking, you're asking for help, even if you're not going to do anything about it. And that's the hardest people to help, because they talk about it and talk about it, and they use so much of everyone's love and support and emotion, but then they don't do anything. And I find that, you know, I'll try saying, okay, she wants to hear me say, do this, and I'll be real strong and tell her steps. Okay, that's great. A month later, okay, she didn't do that. Let's try another step. So you try every angle of what you think they might want support on, because I don't want to tell someone to do something they don't really want to do. I'm just trying to be a friend and be supportive. But when you realize, finally, I ask the question, are you going to do anything? And she said, no. I'm just going to sit here. I'm just going to complain. And that's just what I do.
You really answer that?
Yeah, very straightforward. Wow. Because
she said no.
She said, no, I'm
oh my
not.
God. Wow.
And I said, well, then, from now on, between 8 and 5, while I'm working, please don't bring this up. We can go get a glass of wine. You can tell me about this stuff, and we'll talk about it any time. But, you know, you're taking my time away from my job and my day and my partner's time. And all these people are putting in all their emotion. And we're going, you know, I sit up at night and discuss ways that she can make this work. And finally, when I asked her if she's going to do anything, she said no. She said, and the reason I asked was because I ran into someone who knew her when her kids were in preschool. Now her kids are 19 and 16. And they said, oh yeah, I remember her, but she must be divorced and live somewhere else because every day she was complaining and she started telling me all the complaints. They were the same thing she's telling now. And I said, no, she's still with him. She's still in the same life, doing exactly the same thing with the same complaints. So I went to her that next day and said, what are you doing? She goes, I don't know. I guess I just like the attention and maybe that's how I'm known. That's how I know myself as the poor, sad, poor me. And so I just try to be super positive. Like she says, I'm not good with money. I said, okay, you could say that over and over and you won't be, and that'll continue to be, or you could try writing things down or like do something about it, take an action. And I would love to help people take actions, but sometimes I feel like I turn into this just, I don't know, like not a boss, but a bossy pants or a dictator, do this, do that. And then I'm like so frustrated that
they don't do the thing.
That they don't do anything, but they talk and they're so sad every day, but they won't take one step. And so I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help these people. So sometimes it's just, you know what? I'm going to say, and I finally said, don't talk to me about this between 8 and 5, and let's have a, you know, talk about anything else. And if you want to go out and get a glass of wine, I will talk to you about and be sad and I'll, if you want me to tell you things as a friend, but I don't know. What do you do with those friends or family or whoever it is that they want to take over the time, take over the whole dinner, take over the whole party you're at to discuss something that you know they won't do anything about? What do you do? You know, I don't know. I just try to say, let's talk about why you're amazing. You're a strong, amazing person because, and I think of something, and sometimes that's hard to think of at that moment, but I just try to do that. And then it's funny, they get out of it. Like, oh, okay, I'm not going to stand on that soapbox. I'm going to talk about something else.
Well, maybe they're so conditioned and normal and, what's the word, like, accustomed to only talking about that. And then you said she associates herself as, oh, I guess I'm that person who does that and talks about those things.
Yeah.
And apparently it's been going on forever.
Yeah.
And that is, so as an author, it's very important to know your audience. And also here on the podcast, you know, who's the audience? Who's listening to this thing? And like Leah said in the beginning, because I said, oh boy, what if she's listening? And we are talking about mostly one person here who, you know what, frankly, if she were listening, I mean, we're not really talking any secrets here. And, you know, it's good to have, they talk about having the ICA, the ideal customer avatar. And in many ways, it's her, except she's not going to take action. And especially for me and my books and Repossible, I want the people who are sitting on the fence, they're on the edge, and they're just waiting for, like, you know, tell me what to do or be inspirational or be motivational or help me or show me the path or whatever it is. But then you've got to do your part and take some action. And this might sound a little weird, but, you know, the doers here, because I got two doers sitting at the table here, and we struggle, and I'm really trying not to make this like a, yeah, I'll just put it bluntly, like we are better than you thing. It's not that. It's just different. We're different. And again, I don't know. Can you think of a better way to say it? I don't know a better way to say it. But
when people sit there at the conversation at the table and they whine about something, I go, okay, so what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Oh, I go, did you not think about that? Or you just think about you complaining? So if you're complaining, let's talk about what you can do. What's one thing you can do to change that? And sometimes they're like, oh, no, that's like tiring. It's easier just to complain. I'm like, okay, so you're not seriously thinking about changing something.
No.
And I say that, and they're like, dang, you're rude. I'm like, oh, well, or am I supposed to sit here all night and listen to you
whining? Yeah.
I would love to. This is fun. Let's get a project. Let's, like, write a list. What can you do? I'm excited.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed it also if you're talking with someone and you say, here's the solution, ABC, super clear and real easy, and also from a third-party perspective, often really, really easy and simple and clear. And if it hits home and they think, oh, damn, that's they're right. That's what I should do. And then they keep complaining.
Who would I be then?
Yeah. Who would I be then? Because now we're talking like personal transformation. Now we're talking, do I really want to change? And maybe your friend is, it's scary. It's scary to change into someone else. I mean, I talk a lot about in my Every Single Day book about how before November 1st, 2012, I was a writer who didn't write. And I even joked about it. Except every time I joke, I would cry inside because I truly wanted to be that person. I just wasn't being that person. And so, in fact, that... And I had an external factor help me change, John Muldoon. He's the guy who wrote the foreword for Every Single Day. He's the guy who put me on a 30-day write every day challenge back in November 1st, 2012, which is 7 years ago.
Wow.
That I started that, and I'm writing to this day, 7 years later.
Wow.
And I have 18 books, and I'm on fire. I'm a machine. Whereas way back then, I would have just, you know what? I was going to say I can't relate to these people, but I can, because I was the writer who was whining and moaning and complaining about not being a writer. And I
but
could
not
have,
doing anything about it.
Not doing anything about it. And somebody could tell me, right? I mean, the answer back then was pretty clear. It's like, dude, maybe you should write.
And you were like, I remember because I kept saying, why aren't you going to write that book that you wrote when you were on your trip around the world? Yeah. Where's that book? Where's that book?
Yeah.
And you'd be like, okay, seriously, I have my kids to deal with, I have my job, I have this. I'm like, okay, but right. So you had your excuses too.
Yeah.
Until someone sparked an interest.
Yeah.
And it made some spark happen, and you reacted. And that was what changed. So sometimes, I mean, even with your books, like your Every Single Day, it's kind of like, sometimes things you don't want to finish, like I have a crossword puzzle. In my dad's funeral, I don't want to finish. I do one, like a year, one answer, and I still have it kind of crumpled up. And like your book, I'll go, the Every Single Day, I'll go and I'll read a chapter a month. And sometimes a chapter is like a page, so that's fine. The reason I don't want to finish is because I'm still trying to figure out kind of like what I want to do. Like, yes, I work and it's great and I can't leave that. But I have tons of flexibility. So I'm like, what do I want to do with like my spare heart and mind and time? Yeah, I'm super busy. Yeah, I'm busy all day. It's not like I wander around and, you know, look at butterflies. But what do I want to do? And little things make like little sparks happen, like the Melinda Gates book of A Moment of Lift, I think it's called. But it's like, so that is like, okay, how can I help women that are abused or women that are a lot of other countries where they don't know or can't get to, you know, birth control or whatever it is. But it's like some big things. But I'm like, okay, how do I even start doing that? And so I think I've just started talking with other people and meeting other women. And I don't really care if it's a man or a woman, actually. But meeting with other people that are strong doers. And I'm going to find a way in to something that means something to me. And that, so I'm trying to go out more with different groups, like Meg or whoever, and say, I'm going to go talk with this person because they're smart. They're not... I have enough of the complainer people that don't do anything, and I'm there like, wow, you're amazing. And I'm like, yeah, well, you're just lazy, you know? I want the people that I look at and I say, wow, you're amazing. I feel lazy.
Yeah.
And there's a big group of those people that I'm like, you guys are great. I mean, sometimes you get to know them, you're like, wow, okay, I guess I could do that on the side. Then what else am I going to do? Because that's actually not as fulfilling as you made it sound that first day. Which is kind of like when you first meet people, they can have their little...
Their elevator pitch.
Yeah, their elevator pitch where I was like, okay, I want to know you. And my husband and I will go out to dinner with them. And after dinner, we'll be like, okay, don't need to go to dinner with them anymore. That was fun. Learned a few things. Learned some things I don't want to do. But it's kind of funny, but, you know, making ourselves go out and reach out. And, you know, my husband says, let's join a bridge club. And my mom's like, that's really hard. So, I don't know. But
it is hard.
But these books that you have with, the, you know, even reading a little bit here and there like the good books we love, A Baby Wise or What's Expecting You're Expecting. You grab little paragraphs of little chapters that change and educate you. So
it's not that we dare do everything. Here's Leah saying she wishes she dared to do this other thing that she's not doing. It's just different strokes for different folks and different flavors of ice cream for different people. But we can all help the people we think we could help. So here's my message for you as well, is if you think you're in that position where you don't dare do the thing, you just heard Leah say she has a person in her life that she could totally help dare do the thing, but she's not doing the thing. And then she's looking to other people to help herself. So I see it as, I see very visually, right? So I can see, like, right now I've got a hand down and a hand up. So the hand up is reaching up for someone to help pull me up. But then my hand down is to help pull someone else up.
Yeah.
So I think one tip would be I'm sorry about the higher and lower. I'm trying not to make this like a class, like a better competition thing. But still, it's just the visual. The visual is there for me. Who can you pull up right there? Because no matter where you are, you have somebody you can help pull up. And if by helping someone else pull them up, I think that's going to give you a boost and pull yourself up through the help you're giving.
Yeah.
Because the giving,
for sure.
Giving, you get so much. So
yeah.
This friend of yours, I mean, she finds a person in an even worse situation and she thinks she's okay and she's going to help that person. And then through that, she's going to see, wow, look how I helped this person. And look how that person was even frustrating to me because I thought she was doing nothing. Wow, I'm a total doer compared to her. I dare do the thing. So, okay. And by the way, Leah, this was part of the experiment I wanted to do right here, is I wanted to have this discussion to see what came up. And I didn't have this idea that I just saw right now. Again, I think very visually. And I just saw the hand reaching up and I'm even doing it. Hand reaching up and a hand reaching down. And if you're reaching up there and you're hoping to take that level up, reach down a little bit and see who you could help up. So that was part of the experiment here, to have this discussion to see if we could come up with some content, partly for Leah's foreword for the DARE book, but also for future DARE chapters or other DARE conversations, and how to help people do the things that they're not daring to do. And that's why I wanted to have this conversation with we have no script, we have no notes. We're just sitting here having a glass
just
of wine and a
wine.
Glass of beer. Just a lady drinking wine. We got the dogs, and we can actually see in the house now that kids are home. So I think it's time, and it's getting dusk here in Arizona, and the Christmas lights are on. It's the end of the year, and for 2020, we've got a decade ahead. We just heard that this woman that Leah knows, apparently that's more than a decade, if you were talking about preschool and now she's college or whatever. That is more than a decade that she has not been daring. So it is now the end of 2019. For your 2020, for your beginning of the year, for your beginning of the decade, what is a tiny step that you could do? And my suggestion would be that I just learned right here at this table 14 seconds ago, was you're looking for help to bring you up, but who could you reach down and pull up to help them? And I think that will help you.
Agreed.
That's it for 2019 for the Repossible Podcast. We'll be back in 2020, bright and early or late and dark. And sometime early, probably on a Thursday. And by the way, hey, there's I'm going to do a video. I just did a video challenge. I've got a few speakers who have joined me. We're going to do a video challenge all of 2020, every single Thursday. It's called Thursday Thunder. And we are going to upload a video to a YouTube playlist. We're all working towards bigger and better public speaking careers. And so we're going to do a Thursday Thunder. You'll hear about it more here. But hey, there's a dare. 2 years ago, I wouldn't have dared stand in front of a camera, record, and upload it to public YouTube. So I, too, don't always dare to do the stuff. But then I find that you got to push through, you got to purge through, you got to wade through that river of change and you'll eventually get to the other side, or you get in a rowboat and go downstream. So that's it for 2019. Thank you, Leah Dines. This is the first time, but not the last time, you'll be on the podcast. And we're looking forward to reading the foreword in Dare. And any closing thoughts, Leah?
No, thank you. That was fun. It felt like you're sitting on a couch just being casual. And so that was comfortable because I was nervous about that. I'm like, oh dear, are you going to tell me the questions? Oh no. But it's just fun and natural, and hopefully it helps someone. Hopefully I help someone up.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Good night.
All right. Good night.